I appreciate the things that Brother David has brought to us this morning, and certainly concur with it. In fact, my mind is somewhere in that same direction, so we'll if you have your Bibles today and you want to turn to the book of Hebrews, there's a verse of scripture there that I want to speak to about a little bit. Hebrews 6, the ninth verse. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul was a great preacher. He was as good a preacher, the best one we ever know, except the Lord Jesus himself. But the Apostle Paul spoke as divinely inspired. Of course, he had his own personality, as Peter and James and John and all did. But God spoke through them. He used that person and so forth in order to speak. And the Apostle Paul, if you look the way he treated people, that he treated the churches where he preached to them, he treated them very kindly, only a few occasions to where we find where he has to be stern with the church, and he had to be at Corinth because of their divisions. He had to tell the church at Galatia that he'd marveled that they had so soon removed from what he had taught them. But if you go to the book of Thessalonians, you find that the Apostle Paul treats the church. He said in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter of 1 Thessalonians, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. This nurse here is referring to a mother. And he's given like a family unit. I was gentle with you. You know how gentle a mother generally is with her child. He goes on down to and says, because you were dear to me. He goes on down and talks about how he would treat them as a brother. We didn't use, in the 5th verse, we did not use flattering words, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. We were gentle among you because you were dear unto us. You remember, and he goes down to the 11th verse and says, as you know, we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, what Brother David has been telling you about and encouraging us how we ought to live and how we ought to conduct ourselves, the Apostle Paul comes back to this verse that I read to you in the 6th chapter, the 9th verse. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Now, the part that I want you to see in that he says, beloved, we are persuaded, we're convinced, we believe better things of you. You know, we and these people were once enlightened. He had already told us that. They had once been enlightened. And I remember, I read this verse and I remembered something that happened to me when I was a senior in high school. And this verse brings it about very vividly. And he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. One time I had a date. I was a senior. I had a date with my regular old girlfriend, as far as I remember. And I started home. And it was past 11:30 at night. And there was a woman standing inside the road, and I recognized the woman. Her name was Ola Faye McBride. And I thought it would be Olafay could use a ride. She was way out on that lonesome highway. We turned at the Y going up towards Appleby. There was Olafay. Well, Olafay, I'd gone to school with Olafay at Appleby. And then, of course, when we got past eighth grade, we went into Nacogdoches. But Olafay came from a family that was very poor. But not only was they very poor, her reputation was absolutely trash. I had not really gone to school with her in several years, but she had a really bad reputation. She didn't go to the school I went to then. She went to Gershon to school. And so Olafay had a really bad reputation, but I passed it up, and I recognized that's Olafay. I'd go make a turn and come back and pick up Olafay. She needed to ride, wanted to ride home. I don't know where she'd been, didn't ask her. I don't remember talking to her. I don't remember anything, except I took her to wherever she lived, and I do not remember where that was. She still lived with her parents, and because she was my age, and I took Olafay home. Now, Olafay not only didn't have a very wonderful reputation, she was no looker either. I'm telling you what, she'd make a freight train take a dirt road. I'm telling you, you wouldn't sit around and look at her beauty because she didn't possess any. I remember that. If you wanted to think of somebody, you could just think about Olafay. Anybody in your name Olafay, raise your hand. I've never known but two Olafays, and both of them looked exactly alike. Well, Olafay was not a beauty, and I'd picked her up. She had a bad reputation. Porter Stanland sitting over here, his daddy was my daddy's brother. So I pick Olafay up on a Saturday night, and I carry her home. Mom and daddy's, I don't know where my mom and daddy were, if they were home or not. I do not know. But on Monday, Uncle Elroy called me up as Porter's daddy. He wanted to see me. I didn't know what Elroy wanted to see me for, but I went over to Uncle Elroy's house, and Uncle Elroy says, "I hear you picked up Olafay McBride Saturday night." "Yes, sir." Well, he told me what this verse said. "Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you." He was able to set me straight on how I conducted myself and how I lived, because we expect better things. "Vernice, you have a great name here, and we all have built this name, Staniland, here in this county. And you going out and picking up Olafay McBride, I don't know how, don't know yet how he ever got the word by Monday." But Elroy was already to tell me that I knew better. "But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you." You know, there's sometimes that we do not think how important it is when we do something, what somebody else may read that like. I mean, was I interested in Olafay McBride? No, not at all. But the woman or girl, whatever she was, needed a ride, and I took her home. But Elroy said, "We're persuaded better things of you. You've built a life here. We all have. And you do not go doing things like that." Well, I don't know what Elroy thought I did, but I didn't think anything but take her home. Nobody in his right mind would want to kiss her. But anyway, I took Olafay home. And so when we think about that, we think about all the times that, as David was saying there in the Psalms, and he was saying right here, he said these people, that they were once enlightened in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. They were once enlightened, but they had drifted away. We have to understand that the way we live and conduct ourselves means something to other people, that we have a duty and a responsibility in order to try to live a good life. We're the light of the world, and so we have a responsibility, and that's what Uncle Elroy was telling me. You have a responsibility. Now, I don't know how many times he told Porter all this stuff, but I'm sure Porter knows all what I'm talking about. And so We have a responsibility, and that's what, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You know, I've been around a lot of athletics all my life, and I've seen coaches and played for, well, my last coach died this week. I mean, yes, he did, in the service of that. I think I have one more living coach is all, so pretty soon I won't be able to say anything I want to because nobody knows. But most of the coaches I had were good men, God-fearing, and so forth and so on. But I never was disciplined by a coach except the one that died this week. I was disciplined one time in my whole athletic career that was I punished. And it was because one day I'm playing football at Stephen F. Austin, and we're at Shepherd's Restaurant eating. As the team, had not started back, and it was 2-a-days, and we had to go downtown to a restaurant to eat. And Porter's first cousin, another boy, and Hubert Hancock and I are sitting at the table with a boy named Bobby English, and Bobby's from DeKalb. And actually, we were probably as nice of three kids they were on that team. Well, Coach Simmons, that died this week, he got up to speak back there, and we didn't hear him because we were telling something. In just a minute, he stopped, and he called us down, said, "I'll see you after practice." Why was he doing that? Because he was in authority there talking, and we were not paying attention to him. And so I remember at outside the restaurant, I told him, he said, "I wouldn't have believed that you three boys would have done that." I said, "Coach, we didn't know you were talking. We certainly would not have done it." He said, "You know what? I believe you. But I'm going to run you anyway." And so he did. We went, and I was disciplined. So we had to run wind sprints for a while. I don't remember how long. We all three survived it and so forth. But he expected better things out of us than we would do that. That's what some of those other boys would do. You know, they did stuff, but not us three. You know, I know from Iris, my wife is a school teacher, and I know this, and you know it too, that you have kids that you can go to. There's a certain way, as Paul was a pastor here, there was a certain way he treated that congregation. He treated them like a mother. He treated them, he said that he charged them like a father. He was like a mother to them, all the things that he was to that congregation. Well, the same way that a coach is with a team, some of these coaches, I'm telling you what, you throw a bad pass, they're going to jerk you out of that game, and they're going to bring you over there in front of the whole world, and they're going to talk like this, and they're going to say this, and so forth, and don't you know, and then they start showing them, well, you should have moved like this. No time to coach. This girl's a senior in high school. You don't have to start trying to tell her how to move her feet now. I mean, it's on the sideline. But they'd just be so hard on them. Well, the approach to the coaches that I played for, especially Coach Crawford, he would say, "Now look, son, you can do better than that. The way you get people to want to do better is to encourage them, not hit them over the head." Now, I will say, there are certain people you can, and I still believe in whipping them, but I believe the greatest thing you can do is to encourage them whenever they go the wrong way. And that's what Paul was doing. He was telling this, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." You're better than that. And Johnny Boy, Jim, Joe, or whatever your name is, you can do better. Now, you bring this homework in here tomorrow, and you have it all done. You do that by encouraging them. You do it on an athletic team. You have certain players that have different personalities, and some kids are used to getting eat out all the time. Our family kids have not grown up being bashed all the time. You need to encourage them to do better and to act better. Sometimes you have to discipline more harsh. If you go through, you see where Paul had to do the same thing. But as a pastor, it's not my job. I had a man tell me one time, said, "Well, I just lay out here like a big dog watching the flock, and I see something, I go right to them. Okay. Well, you go and shake them and all that. I don't believe in that. I believe you ought to lead people in the way that they ought to go. Brother David has given you some excellent teaching this morning from the Psalmist David, and that we ought to encourage them to do better, and that's what Paul was doing here. But, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. And so whenever we have the coach that goes to you says, you can do better. Now, you get out there and you do it. Don't, you know, just so well, and encourage those people to do that. It's the same way because human nature is the same. And, well, we expect church members, we expect people who go to church to manifest a godly life, to manifest, we not say that they're perfect people, but they should, they ought to. Can you imagine that, you know, someone who would do something to you from a brother or a sister in class? Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You could be so surprised if Brother James Machiavelli here, he's a nice, gentle young man. And, you know, if he just got out and acted any kind of way, I could say, well, Brother James, I'm so surprised. That's what Paul was saying. I'm persuaded better things of you, and so forth. So I take the great comfort, and Uncle Elry told me all those years ago now, we are expecting better things out of you. And so we have to remember, I didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't, to the appearance of it, was that I'd picked up this old gal about late one Saturday night, and he didn't know what happened from there. So he was just talking about, do not do things that would cause you to confuse others, because they looking at you, you might not even know it. And so when you play on a team, Emma and Grayson, and when you play on a team, those kids, they're looking at you. And so you always try to put your best foot forward. You don't want to spend all your time cursing like a sailor. You don't want to do all your times being mean and those things. I'm expecting better things out of you. And how many parents to sit down to their child who, my goodness, is not and didn't appreciate what they had. That's what he goes on to say. These better things of you and things that accompany salvation. The things that accompany salvation is to be born again of the Spirit, to live after the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness and meekness. Against such there's no law. So our duty and responsibility is that even we shun, as a minister of the gospel, one of the things that Paul has encouraged us to do is to shun even the approach of evil. Yeah? Well, there was no evil in what I did to Olafe, but the appearance of it, that was why Elder was coming after me, is the appearance of it. So we have a duty and responsibility to say, well, that's none of their business. Well, you confuse them. And the Apostle Paul and Peter did the same thing. He got over there and he was refusing to eat certain meats and so forth and so on and so on. And Paul had to set him straight about it. And so we have to remember that our daily walk, our daily work, all of those things should all add up. Beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. We have had such a wonderful group of church people here and their families. And sometime we've had a few little things that might come up, but we're persuaded better things of you. We do not expect Brother Daniel to turn out to be bad and just all the things that he could be, because we know Brother Daniel. We're persuaded in our mind better things of him and of every last one in the church and of every parent with their kids and every school teacher when she's got good kids. that just do not apply themselves. Every school teacher can tell you they had plenty of faculties to do the work, but they just wouldn't do it. So the teacher has to persuade them, look, you can do the work. That's no problem. You do it. And some kids completely thrive on being encouraged. And others, you know, they just not. Anyway, I just thought about that. As I read that text, I thought, yeah, that's what Uncle Elroy did to me. He was encouraging me. He expected better things from me because I was a part of his family name, and my parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and everybody else spent a lifetime in Nacogdoches County trying to build that name up, and Uncle Elroy did not want me to trash it by going around with Olafe Mightbride. Well, I never did see. I don't know if I've ever seen Olafe after that night, but anyway, that was a story on Olafe. I thank you today for your kind attention. I hope you'll remember that verse. It's the 9th verse of the 6th chapter of Hebrews. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Thank you this morning for your kind attention. Hope there's been something that Brother David and I brought to you that would be worth taking home with you this afternoon. And carry it the rest of your life. Whenever you're already grown up, you're already under mom and daddy's care and all of that, just remember, we expect better things of you than them to come in here and say, yes, she did so-and-so, or he did so-and-so, or so forth and so on. We're expecting better things out of you than that. And those people there, they had been enlightened, but they had drifted back over to the other side. And so that was the message that I think that I was trying to give out of that.